Chapter 1, South Beach. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Charles Spurgeon. South Beach, Miami, Florida. If you've never been there, it is truly an amazing place. Beach, sun, sand, tans, Lamborghinis, drinking, drugs, nightlife, and sin. And that's what South Beach is all about. It is wild, it is crazy, and it is America's version of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I just love going there. I know that sounds strange, but I try to get to South Beach at least once a year. The spiritual darkness there is unbelievable. So many people are hurting, and they are looking for truth and love. As a matter of fact, it is so dark there that it is easy for a believer's light to shine very brightly. A couple of years ago, I was in South Beach witnessing. I like to hit the streets around 8 p.m. and stay till about 4 a.m. It makes for a very interesting but very long evening. One night as I was walking along a street, I saw a young woman sitting on top of a newspaper stand. I approached her and struck up a conversation. Then I asked her this question. When you die, what do you think is on the other side? She gave me a most interesting answer. A whole bunch of naked women. I have heard that answer from guys before, but never from a girl. As we talked, I learned that she was a 17-year-old Jewish girl who was struggling with lesbianism. She opened up and had a lot of very in-depth questions about God and sin. She had really thought about the eternal side of life. But halfway through the conversation, she admitted that her curfew was midnight. It was now 12:40 in the morning. She explained that, as she was driving home to arrive before her curfew, something in her mind told her not to go home, but to go to South Beach instead. So she did. She then pointed a finger at me and said, "You are the whole reason that I came to South Beach tonight." My jaw almost hit the concrete. We typically think that people don't want to talk to us about eternity and Jesus, but that's just another lie from the devil. This young lady was searching for eternal truth, and God had her out way past her curfew to hear the information that she had truly been seeking. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has put eternity in their hearts." God has placed an awareness of eternity in the heart of every man and woman. No matter how deep people may push it down, it is still there. They know there is something more than this life. It is our job to help them find out what is waiting for them in eternity, who God is, and how they can commit to Him and live by His principles. As we continued to talk, one of her friends came out of an ice cream parlor and sat down. She asked him, "Do you believe in this Jesus? What do you think about all this Jesus stuff?" This young lady was already witnessing and she wasn't even a believer yet. Toward the end of our conversation, she looked at me and asked, "Are you an angel from God?" I said that I couldn't be. I have an address, a phone number, etc. The Bible tells us to entertain strangers because we might be entertaining an angel. Although I was a stranger to her, I am not a stranger to the world. What she was saying, though, was that God had touched her life and He just happened to use me to do that. What a humbling thought that the God of this universe would use fallen mankind to plant seeds in the hearts of the lost. 5 times in my life, someone has asked me if I was an angel from God. It is a little unnerving, but when we step out in faith and boldly share the good news of Jesus Christ with all the love we can, people will begin to see Jesus through our lives. I will never forget that young lady, but what would cause me to even want to talk with her that night? Here is one of those reasons. And it is a weighty piece of eternal truth. I can guarantee that there is one thing that you cannot do in heaven that you can do here on earth. You can worship God in heaven. You can praise God in heaven. You can sing songs to God in heaven. You can learn God's word in heaven. But one thing you cannot do in heaven is share your faith with a non-believer. Why? Because everyone in heaven is a believer. Do you realize when you take your last breath, you'll never again be able to talk with a lost person? Since that is true, shouldn't it be a priority of your life to reach out to all the lost people on earth while you can? Auburn University gave me a 4-year basketball scholarship for one very simple reason. I don't say this to be cocky, but I can shoot a basketball pretty well. I can take that orange ball and I can put it in the goal. Some people say I was born with that talent. I don't believe that, although I definitely have athletic talent wired into me. The real reason I can shoot a basketball pretty well is hours upon hours of practice. All I did as a kid was shoot basketball, and if you do something enough, you get pretty good at it. So if we can't witness in heaven and can witness only on earth, what is the only way we'll ever get good at it? Practice, practice, practice. I firmly believe that witnessing is a learned talent. God burdens our heart to reach the lost, but we must get out there and start practicing those conversations. The funny thing is, though, the more you practice, the easier it becomes. For the past 4 years, I've gotten into a conversation with every person I have sat next to on an airplane flight. I do this because I have to practice sharing my faith in order to improve. And since I pray for those people before we meet, I don't consider them strangers, but friends I haven't met yet. If God seats a believer next to me, I encourage that person to be a bold man or woman of God. If he puts a non-believer next to me, then I give the person the best news they've ever heard in their life. After taking my seat on a flight out of Colorado Springs, I introduced myself to a man next to me, and we began to chat. He had his hands in a very thick book with very small print. I asked him what he was reading and why he would want to read such a hefty book. It was a title by Dostoevsky that he had read in college 20 years earlier, he told me, and he felt that he needed to read it again. I was thinking, this guy has way too much free time on his hands. He worked at the Pentagon for the ballistics missile defense operations. He was a very interesting man and was quite conservative in his outlook. We hit it right off and shared the same viewpoint on numerous issues. The problem was, he would not close his book. He didn't look at it, but he kept it open on his lap. When someone closes his book, it signals his interest in getting into a good conversation with you. We talked for an hour, and the book was still open. So I said, "Can I ask you an interesting question?" He replied, "Sure." I said, "When you die, what do you think is on the other side? What do you think is out there when you walk out of here?" He was not sure. The book was still open, but we kept talking. Suddenly, he took his plane ticket, used it as a bookmark, and closed the book. Then the conversation really took off. The rest of the flight, we talked about eternal matters. At one point, he said, "I get the feeling that you are just walking me right along." We both laughed. I said that it might seem like that, but I do believe that all of this is very logical and very straightforward. At the end of the flight, he said, "I want to thank you for something. You're not one of those zealots or fanatics, and I really like that." I laughed. "Well, if you got to know me, you might have a different opinion." Then I added, "But what I think you were saying is that I didn't take my religion and shove it down your throat." He said, "That's exactly what I'm trying to say." I got his business card and later wrote him a letter and sent him a book. We had this conversation 6 weeks before the World Trade Center and Pentagon attacks. I have since wondered what happened to him. Little did I know that the living God was going to place a man so hungry for spiritual truth next to me on that flight. All I had to do was get into the conversation and watch it go from there. Jesus says in Luke 12:12, "The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." The Holy Spirit is very faithful to take us all the way through a conversation and to give us plenty of things to say. All we must do is get to that very hour. Let the Lord take you into those opportunities and he will show you how faithful he really is. 2 Timothy 4:2-8 is a powerful part of the Bible. In verse 2, Paul tells us, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." Remember that there are only two times to share the gospel with people, in season and out of season. Any other time would be wrong. That means we should be prepared to preach the word at all times and go for it. Also realize that when we stand in front of God, none of us will say that we shared his son too much, but many of us will realize that we shared his son way too little during our time on earth. Practice, practice, practice. Can you think of someone you need to practice with today? I'm not referring to role-playing, but to an actual conversation with a friend. Go for it. You will be glad you did. Now that we know one thing we can't do in heaven, what can give us the boldness that we all should have in the Lord? The next chapter will show how we can train our minds to start viewing opportunities from the Lord in a different way.